What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Ducky himself, Nick Scarpino.
Look at this new tool I have for you, Greg.
How are you going to do it, man, Daddy? Where are you going to put it, Daddy?
All four of us could use it.
It's a tripod. Yeah, one of us has to be upside down.
Isn't that always the case, though? Isn't that always the case? Also, there's five of us, whatever. God.
Nick, let's start at the top. We've appreciated your descent into the hipster realm, right? We were giving you a hard time with the hat last week, and at least me and Kevin wore and stuff like that. This outfit is fantastic. What is the sweater that we have going on here?
This is just kind of funny. Yeah, of course. This is an old cardigan sweater that I've had, and it's now my house sweater because, as you guys know, I've moved, and my new house doesn't have radiators. It has actual heating, and I'm too cheap to turn it on.
So sure, fair.
It's so cold in this place, you could almost see my breath. My wife was like, why don't you
just turn it on?
And I'm like, do you have any idea how much Kevin will make fun of me if I wear a robe?
Nicholas, I've worn a robe on content many a time. And
well, I was going to say, Kevin would actually applaud you.
Yeah.
He would applaud you.
I'm all about comfort when it comes to living your life.
So I put the beanie on first. I was wearing that all morning. And then I showered, took the beanie off, of course, showered, put this ensemble on. And I was like, well, the beanie matches the...
Yeah.
The urban hiking shirt, which is nice.
Kindoffunny.com/store, kindoffunny.com. Mm-hmm. No, kind of
and then I was like, but the cardigan doesn't. But then I was like, who cares? It's fucking freezing in here.
Wouldn't have told me, I would have thought that, you know, Johnny Ace is a character and so is this person on camera right now.
Docky.
Yeah.
He works in the docks.
I thought you were going to go hipster with it. I thought it was like, I could recommend you a nice Colombian coffee. Or some sort of nice cold brew.
Yeah, it seems like you're role playing as a, I guess, you know, Johnny Ace is a world traveler, right? Kind of super, super cultured, right? But it feels like this person would talk to me like in a very whispery kind of voice.
This person's never left Oregon. Like they've already been there. They act like they've seen the world, but no.
Yeah, exactly.
This person's really into oatmeal and oats. And like steel cut
oatmeal
oats.
And oats.
And they work in.
Let me tell you, bro, I love oatmeal and I love oats. Specifically steel cut oats.
They
work at Michael's on Saturday. Yeah. All
right, well, no, they want to be caught dead in Michael's. That's too corporate. You know what I mean? They're not gonna go there.
Oh, Michael's very homophobic.
Why are they?
I thought that was Hobby Lobby.
I think it's Hobby Lobby. I think Michael's is straight up cool.
Do your research, dude. Step off Michael's, all right? They got everything we need.
Do you know how many times I've gone into a Michael's and been like, I just need one thing, and I've spent hours in a Michael's?
They always have everything 30% off. It's great.
Everything. Yeah, it's like it's always going out of sale, like out of business. Always an out of business sale.
They're smart. They start the like Christmas decoration drop-off prices right like a weekend.
Tomorrow, just because I don't want to get sued again, I do want to call out that Michael's declared itself open for all for this. So
they're the other one. That's right.
Yeah, MetroWeekly.com. Michael Arts and Crafts Store joined Open to All campaign embracing LGBTQ inclusion.
I was going
to
say,
Andy, you can take the hate you're peddling for Michael's and get it the fuck out of my site.
Yeah, they're good.
You take it to Joanne's, all right?
Hobby Lobby, I always drove by and I was like, how fucking, even before I knew they were homophobes, you drive by Hobby Lobby, you're like, how depressed do you have to be to go inside a Hobby Lobby?
I've been in a Hobby Lobby.
They're opening one up not too far. I'll drive you. You know where the old Toys R Us is? Not the one you're thinking, but the one by Fremont. No.
Yeah.
Foster City.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
We can go.
Kevin is talking like he's trying to get all this information in on a collect call. All right. After the tone, say your name. It's the one by Fremont. Come get me, Mom.
You guys only listen to me for so long, you know?
It's sad because Hobby Lobby should be a place like to enjoy by all. Because last time, I've only been in there twice. But Tim, it's like, it's basically like a place where you go where you want to do like miniature train sets and like models. But you actually want to like put them together and things like that. I used to go, there used to be one like near Riverside that I think.
Nick, I looked into it recently because we were at that particular Hobby Lobby, which wasn't open. We were going to Target to find Hue lights that were on sale. It doesn't matter.
Of course. Of course you guys were. I imagine you and Tim, most of your time is trying to figure out where the newest, hottest Hue lights are coming from.
I mean, there's a lot of that. But anyways, it looks like it changed, and it's more of like a Ross from the Googling that me and my little brother did.
Really?
Yeah, I'm looking at Hobby Lobby's website right now. Like a Mervin's. This does not look like a place I'd want to be.
No.
Yeah, Tim, I will say this though. You walk into a Hobby Lobby, it smells right now. Oh, I can't imagine how it smells. It smells like pumpkin and cinnamon and all sorts of great
everywhere.
No. But arts and crafts stores are very much like, we are going to make this place smell like this season. So in the winter, it smells like mud, right? In the like sort of fall time, it's always a cinnamony sort of smell. Springtime flowers and stuff like that. Hobby Lobby, Tim, I would frequent quite a bit because of I was in art school, so I needed these certain type of pencils. I needed this certain type of paper to sketch on for the whatever. You know, I was always in Hobby Lobbies and Michaels growing up.
If you had to describe the smell of winter, your go to is mud,
like precipitation and mud. Yeah.
Wait, earth. For winter?
That earth smell.
Not Christmas trees.
Like an earth. Well, you know, there's a pine tree near the mud, Kevin.
I mean, yeah.
I feel like it's the pine tree you smell, not the mud so much when they sell it.
It's a mixture. Depends
on.
I
know what you're talking about. Like grass, nature. You just like that nature smell.
Yeah, a nature-y smell. Yeah. When I say mud, it's not a derogatory thing. It's just like... It's a
call like you see it. You call it like it's
like, yeah. So if I walk into your house, I'm like, hey, yo, it smells like mud in here. You're gonna be like, oh yeah, that's what purpose.
Get out of here, bitch.
Yes, okay. So it sounds like a derogatory thing.
Who let you in? You know,
I'm on businessinsider.com, the 15 biggest controversies in Hobby Lobby's nearly 50-year history. And let me tell you, these people fucking suck. I don't even know. September 2012, Hobby Lobby files lawsuit against the U.S. government for the right to deny contraceptives to its employees.
What?
October 2013, Hobby Lobby is slammed with anti-Semitism claims after an employee tells a Jewish customer the store, quote, doesn't cater to your people. And the photos of a bunch of Santa shit.
God.
Okay.
The Supreme Court ruled in favor of Hobby Lobby, saying they could withhold contraception from them. But then people are fighting them. Then this one I love. July 2017, federal prosecutors find Hobby Lobby guilty of smuggling 5,500 biblical artifacts from Iraq.
What? Wow. Oh my God! That's a lot. Do you think that's really funny?
Here comes a bunch of a quick succession. November 2017, the Green family, who is the Hobby Lobby people, opens the Museum of the Bible, which skeptics call a Christian ministry disguised as a museum. October 2018, Museum of Bible confirms some of its Dead Sea Scroll fragments are fake. March 2020, a follow-up report finds that the entirety of the Dead Sea Scroll collection at the Museum of the Bible is actually forged.
I was going to say, if there's a collection of Dead Sea Scrolls in a Hobby Lobby somewhere, yeah, I'm gonna guess they're fake. I'm gonna be like, that's Kevin. Not
March 2020 real. Hobby Lobby leaves its doors open during the coronavirus outbreak, claiming it was destined to do so based on a message from God.
These people don't
have Kevin, all of these things, Kevin, sound like things that would happen with the Bluth family in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Like, but these like, are all not as like bad as they seem. The same that's controversies. Yeah.
These guys get fucked. I don't even really know. You know what I mean? I'll continue taking Joanne's? My business to TJ Maxx. Joanne's Fabrics. Joanne seems like a fine person.
Okay.
That's the thing is like they're all like that's the, you know Michaels, you know Joanne. Hobby Lobby is always like just like, it's orange letters on a fucking sign when you drive by.
I've never been
inside Hobby Lobby. I've only driven past it. There's a right across the street from Augustino's on North Avenue. Assholes. Yeah, well, now I know, and I would never ever go in there.
So I never heard of Hobby Lobby. I've never seen a Hobby Lobby myself. But growing up, two blocks away from my house, there was a place that we called the Hobby Store.
Okay.
And it's very similar to what you're talking about, like little model trains and paints and all that, ceramics and all that type of stuff, right? But the weirdest thing is they didn't have a name. Like, there was absolutely no logo, no titling on their awning. It's just, you just walk by the windows, you're like, okay, clearly I get what the store is.
Sure.
But it was just like the most just labelless store I've ever seen. I always thought it was weird.
But that's San Francisco, man. You know, they wanted you to be in the know, be hip about it.
I guess.
If you're looking for miniatures,
it doesn't exist anymore.
You need to paint some Warhammer figs. That's where you would have gone, I guess.
Yeah. Warhammer, damn, that's a good pull.
Number two on our roster of chuckleheads is the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas Treat, Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the Globetrotting, Headshotting, Nitro Rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Rest in peace, Paul Walker. 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
Can you lose in 7 years?
7 years, man. We're getting old.
We are getting
it's
old.
Happening that's before us.
We're not getting young, that's for sure.
It sucks, man. Like, it's wild to me to just think of how this passage of time. It's December, man.
Yep.
It smells like mud. We've all agreed. We've all agreed it smells like mud out here. It doesn't like, smell it's, like mud. It's wild to me that we're already here. It's wild to me. I yeah, can't man. Believe it.
The lost year.
Beginning of the end. Yeah. The Andy, lost year.
Yeah. Andy, when Paul Walker died, did you care at all? And like but like you weren't into the franchise at that point, right? Like we got you into it, right? No, but
I mean,
he was a big Beatles fan.
You made me like a real Fast and Furious fan.
I remember that week.
Where at the time I was
the day? Was it one day that you sat there and watched it all?
Like 2 days, yeah. Man. No, but at the time when Paul Walker died, I was like, oh fuck, that's crazy that he died. And I remember seeing like all the TMZ photos and
Wait, what? Were we using Twitter?
Yeah. Because it wasn't MySpace. Yeah. It was definitely like Facebook.
It was Twitter.
Twitter at this point.
I was in Japan. I was in Japan and it was on Twitter. And I was like, guys, it was like, we're looking at him like, guys, Paul Walker died in a car accident. And it sounded so fake. It sounded like the most Snopes.com article.
I was in college. Yeah. Yeah. Wild.
We all had a group thread, like all the IGN video team people. And we were beside ourselves. That was like a whole day of like what Greg saw about it. It felt like a bad joke, and then more and more news kept coming in. It was like I hit a point where it like got debunked and then got rebunked.
That's how it always is though with like those celebrity deaths. I mean, this is no disrespect to like, you know, if Betty White kicks the bucket, you're like, okay, she was like 100 years old and God bless her, she did her
way
for King and Country and she crushed every second of the day, but she lived a nice full life. But when you hear about guys like Paul Walker, or the ones that hit me hard were like Paul Walker, John Candy. I'm just reading a book about them, and like John Candy dying so young it just sucks so bad. It's like you had so many good things left to make and it's just you were taken before your time. It's
40 years old.
Paul Walker. Crazy.
Yeah.
God, he was 40. So God damn, he looked good. Holy shit. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jeez.
I'm 40. I'm fucking falling apart. Jesus Christ. I gotta wear a sweater now because I'm cold all the time.
Mom has a theory.
And then rounding out the quartet, he's Forbes 30 under 30, aka the second best baby blues in San Francisco, aka the buzzed one at Tim Geddes.
I like how it keeps evolving.
Can I throw this out there? And I made this reference the other day, but
hold on, throw it out there, I'll catch it.
Okay, Greg, here it comes. Ready? Keep going. Doesn't Tim look like the kid from Infamous, the first one?
Pow! He does look like Cole from Infamous. You're goddamn right. I'll lend you the backpack anytime you want. You can take it. You can take some photos with it.
Yeah. You got to cosplay right now, Tim. You got to just get a whole thing together. Infamous, Eminem, Infamous, and then
I look like the guy from Tokyo Drift. I have the exact same.
You do look like him.
It sucks.
Say some of your lines with the accent.
Gaijing. The guy one of those Gaijings.
God, why are you using the hard G? There's not even a G at the end of the word.
No, I know. I threw it in there.
I love it. I appreciate it. Andy, I want to say your hair has never looked cooler than it does right now. I love the light. It is.
It's long, anime. Man.
Can we go around and say what we think it looks like? I'll start with me. It looks like the end of an anime where Andy just won, but like he didn't get the love of his life, but he learned the lesson and the wind's blowing and then it freeze frames on him. You know, as the scarf goes off his neck and the scarf is symbolic of his love.
See, that's what I was thinking.
Because the scarf came from her, right, as a gift, like earlier on the movie. Yeah. And then she like either she died probably is what I'm assuming.
No, she banged your brother for sure.
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
To me, it looks like somebody took the photo out in a really windy day right as the storm was kicking up. So his hair is like all pushed to one side, like it's getting blown off that way. And then it's
like the infamous Greg Miller, the coolest he's ever looked with Portillo.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
There was a hot moment in 2019 where Greg, I swear to God, Greg hired a professional photographer to follow him around for like 2 months and just didn't tell us because he was having you were turning in some good cosplay shit back then.
When you look this good, you know,
it's true.
Well, I mean, when you have first off, I do want to mention this.
Uh-oh.
That, yes, Greg looks great. And when you have a palette to work with that looks like Greg, right? When that's your source,
it pisses
easy
me off.
Pickings, right? Like, it's easy to work on.
I was already so fucked up? Like, I was already so, I only had room to go up that I was a beater? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying it's like giving a mechanic a brand new car and be like, hey, fix this up for me. It's like, well, it's brand new. Not much to do with it. It's perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But also, it's only been 7 days or maybe 4 days. It's been 1 week.
Weeks since you looked at me.
Nick hasn't even commented on the glasses again. Like, he already got so used to them. And I appreciate that. Nick has the maturity.
It's been 1 day.
Yeah, it was yesterday, Andy.
Today's and Tuesday. I wore them on In Review for the first time yesterday. Seven days?
Wait, today's Wednesday?
Today's Tuesday.
It was yesterday. Yesterday was the first time he wore them, and I fucking berated him for a half hour about looking like a Jiffy Lube employee. That was yesterday.
What?
can we talk a little bit about Tim though? Because here's this is the annoying thing.
Play it on me about Andy. Tim. What annoys you?
First off, Greg not losing any hair. We'll start with Greg. Greg not losing any hair, but he's getting salt and pepper, which is just even better. It makes him look more distinguished, like when Clooney went kind of gray, but just the right kind of gray. It's annoying. No, keep it away from the fucking camera. You're an asshole. But I want to talk about Tim because a week ago, I swear to God, a week ago, Tim looked like he was trying to join a prison gang. And now, just 1 week later, he looks like Justin Timberlake after he decided to do his first album and get a real haircut and be all sexy and shit and leave NSYNC behind him. It's annoying. Fucking stop.
When Justin Timberlake did that when I was in middle school, a girl,
that was an awakening.
One of my friends cried. She went to her locker and cried and pulled a picture of Justin down with his curly hair and ripped it. And it was the most dramatic. Dramatic moment I've ever seen in real life. And that was when I realized that, you know, middle school's where it's at.
It really
is. Things are getting real. Shit's getting real.
That's when awakenings were happening. Yeah, people were feeling their bodies.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree with you though, Nick. I think this change has marked a new, like right here in the movie, in the documentary, this is where like
part and then things started going wrong.
Yeah,
this is where the solo albums start happening.
This is where DVD 2 ends and they're like, how will things shape up for him?
So like
we'll find out next time.
This is where Tim goes and does his solo album. And then Greg decides to do his like dramatic readings from an armchair someplace next to a fire. And then you become a Twitch streamer in Japan. And I die of some sort of cause that everyone saw coming.
But when you die, that's what brings us back together. That's what brings us back together.
And you guys get together for the Hell Freezes Over tour.
Exactly. That's how we'll do it. That's how we'll do it. That's how the future will unfold for us. Because this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four best friends gather on these microphones, each coming to bullshit with each other and you. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can write in with your topics of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can watch live just like Jonathan is, Mike is, the Lou is, Lexi G is. And of course, you can get it with the post show that's exclusive to patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can head over to youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the world each and every week to get an episode that has ads, no post show. You can't watch it live in case we fuck up and say something we shouldn't. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jared Dessert, Cypress Bill, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, DJ Kento, Steve Powers, Kieran O'Donnell, and Alexander Noxell.
New round.
Is Cypress Bill?
Yeah.
What was that name? Cypress Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That is a great name. I assume that's Cypress Hill. Yeah. Wow. That's really cool.
Who are the new ones here?
Alexander Noxell, I've never said before. Noxell.
That's
Cypress
cool.
Bill, I've never said before.
Noxell's coming into town and they are going to eat up all the mom and pop mobile phone distributors.
Yeah.
You know,
dude, I was on a call with one of my buddies Noxell. The other day. And Stu. It wasn't Stu. It was one of the comics we were doing the little writing session last night. Janesh and Austin, and we were doing a little like we just decided to hop on and be like, let's write some material together and help each other out with some jokes. And he was like, he was writing a joke about his grandmother, and so my grandmother's got one of those jitterbugs.
I used to sell these. I used to sling them.
Andy, explain what these are.
A jitterbug is a phone for an old person, and it has really giant numbers, giant letters. The screen has giant font. It's the most basic of basic, and I sold them all the time because, again, the second Best Buy I worked at for 3 years was in Georgetown, Texas, and it was basically neighboring a retirement facility.
So that was a revelation for me today. But also that...
Are you in the market? You going to get one now?
I was thinking about it because my eyesight started to go.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine on that one. I just thought that was a funny... Because my reference for jitterbug is jitterbug. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you're gonna say, Nick?
I was gonna riff off of you your Best Buy, but I totally lost my point. But I will say this though, I've been to Best Buy, no lie, like 5 times in the last week. It's a hotbed right now, man. It is the fucking place to be. I don't know if they've closed it back down since we went purple again, but when I was in there before, it was like
can you walk in it?
Wait, a hotbed for COVID or
No, just like you could feel the party people wanting okay. to be around each other.
Like, you got to be a little more selective of your wording.
Okay, first right off, now, I'm pretty sure man. Andy said that Michaels was super homophobic, so.
But we fixed
which is
it.
Not true, everybody.
Hobby Lobby
remember.
Is the bad guys.
Hobby Lobby yeah. sucks.
Yeah. Maybe Joanne's. But we haven't looked into it.
I'm not the only one out there leveraging unfounded allegations.
But, like, it is a hotbed. Like, oh, like, a lot of people are, like, getting COVID there? Nah, it's just a place to be, man. Because when I hear hotbed, I think of COVID.
Yeah, like, that's the correct term for that.
Nah, it's the place to be. Oh, I love Best Buy, man.
It's so fun. Don't you guys miss it? I miss going to Best Buy with you guys. Yeah. Like that one time we went to Best Buy when Greg was working hard and all of us took a lunch break for 2 hours and all we did was look at DVDs.
We were gone for so long.
It was one of those days, Greg, where you had
we
like...
We looked at the phone and it was like, oh, it's 2:48. Oh my God.
What time did we leave? 11.
Oh. He's going to be...
Those days are fun, man. I just miss that. Like, I mean, me we too. All did the Target day. The infamous day that we went and we
went to Wild Wings,
David Buster's.
Oh, and we did that.
When Nick got sick to his stomach because he ate too much fucking cheese.
Why did he eat so much of the cheese? He ate like his and part of Greg's.
Dude, it was like a half halo, like a Jesus halo of cheese. I had to eat it. Was that the way it was?
I had to do so much explaining. I had to do so much explaining to my wife after last week's episode. And when I finally explained what Nick's secret cookie was, she's like, that's just a Parmesan crisp. He can make them in the oven. Why would he do them the way he did them? I'm like, babe, don't ask questions about Nick. It's just how he does things.
I don't want to fire my oven. That's just a lot. I'm not a cook.
You don't want to turn on your heat.
Yeah,
exactly.
It might heat up your house.
I'm not a cook.
Just the Nick, you seriously won't turn on the heater? Like this isn't
no,
like
I turn on the heater. Oh, okay. The problem is so here's actually the real problem.
But you look cold.
Yeah, but the problem is this room is the smallest room in the place, and so or a smaller room in the place, I should say. So out there it barely gets warm, but here if I leave it on for long enough for out there to get warm, this place is baking inside and then it dries me the hell out. So I'm still trying to get used to the balance of it all.
What if you get a small little space heater, you know, one of those little oil ones, and then dial it into the middle?
Oil skin. That sounds like a recipe for me to just get lit on fire.
It's in a metal thing. It's fine. It won't open up.
I was thinking about getting a foot warmer, like just like a little pad that I can put my feet on.
Yeah, all right, you would. All right.
Sounds fun.
I just want to say that this show is so special. I love it. I look forward to it every single week where we get to just hang out and catch up and just make fun of each other. It's just a good time. I'm looking back, and my favorite thing recently is the post show. Is when we're having the conversation of, so what do we name it and what is the thumbnail? And I swear to God, I'm looking back now and I am legitimately shocked at how many views some of these things have. Because I would say the show averages what, you know, 15 to 20K. So if we get anything above that, I'm like, wow,
we're doing good.
That was a win. But yeah, we have we're sorry last week's episode was so bad, followed by Nick wants to build a $7,000 PC. We had the Latinx and gaming one, but that I count as separate. Nick wants to build a $7,000 gaming PC. Would we go to the most dangerous theme park?
Great.
Nick apologizes for yesterday. Yeah, Tim Getty's conspiracy exposed the escape room, and then Nick's special cookie.
Yeah,
Nick's special cookie is at 19K.
Hey, all right.
I am bewildered at that. But I do love that there is a through line through those of people apologizing at just Nick being Nick. Like, how many times is Nick going to be the first word in these headlines? Because with his dumbass face, just like.
I mean, that's honestly, it's like that is my dream. My dream is that we can just because here's the deal. Andy, I'll talk to you about this.
Andy, fucking listen up for a change, all right?
These two guys, Tim and Greg, are out there fucking learning shit and schooling people and being journalists and making PR contacts and putting themselves out there and growing as like professionals and trying to like be voices in the video game industry. That all scares me. What I'd rather do is misuse a microwave and get 20,000 views. Does that make sense?
I mean, you're certainly carving out a special spot in the industry for yourself. Yeah.
I don't want to be in the industry. I don't want that. I just want our chuckleheads that listen to this podcast to giggle every once in a while and then go about their business.
See, but I do, Nick, I know you say that, but I do think it would be great if that was your spot in the industry. That like eventually, you know, we're talking about the top heads at Sony. Know Nick as that guy. As just like the fucking weirdo that will play Warzone every once in a while, but is, you know, the guy that will also microwave Parmesan cheese.
That is true. Now, to clarify, I would play Warzone literally every night, but I feel like I'm bugging you and Snowbike Mike, so I was gonna hit you up tonight to see if you wanted to play. And then, but I have like, it's like a, you guys are like a girl that I want to call back, but I don't want to seem too desperate, so I'll call you like every 4 days, like shoot you a text, like yo, but no other context.
I need to just sort of read back this conversation really quick, because I had wanted to bring this up, and I'm glad you just reminded me right there, Nick. Let me just find this text thread. So the other day, I think it was after the last Kind of Funny podcast that Nick was like, yo, hit me up tonight. You know, let's get.
Yeah, I was like, if you guys are going to play Warzone, this is what I said. So this is where the clarification comes in. I said, yo, I'd love to play Warzone tonight if you guys are going to play. And you said you didn't. I don't even think you responded, but you maybe were like, OK.
Yeah, no, you know what it was? I was getting a photo of you for the thumbnail. I was like, all right, yeah, I'll hit you up.
Yeah.
So then I hit him up and I said, we're going to play Cold War Black Ops with Mike and the crew. We're not playing Warzone. And then he replies, cool. And then minutes go by and I replied to him. I was like, that was an invite, by the way. And he goes, oh, haha, I'm down. Let me know when you're hopping on.
Because well, I was like, because there was just enough ambiguity where I'm like, I don't want to like force those guys. Because here's the problem, Tim, is that go play. We have a great time. It's a super fun stream, but after a while, Mike and Kevin have to get tired of like me not doing anything on the team. Like, here's what happened. We were playing the other night, and this is how this whole thing ended. I played for an hour and a half. I got no kills. I'm terrible at this, but we're having a blast. And then Andy goes, oh, Ray wants to jump on. Dead silence. And then I go, yeah, I mean, I guess I'll jump off. And everyone's like, oh, cool, Nick. Hey, it was great playing with you.
Fuck you, Nick.
I totally get it. Me and Greg are so used to that, too. So it's okay.
That's never
trying to get rid of Nick.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that's never what it is. With Ray, it was like, Ray wants to play. And usually one of Mike's friends will hop out, but I hate doing that.
I don't like doing it either. And to be fair, one of Mike's friends was already like cordial enough to chop him out when I joined anyway. So I was like, I mean,
they're the crew. They're the homies.
Yeah. They're good and they've got a good dynamic. It's better for the.
Yeah. Players. They're the homies. But, you know, if that does happen, every once in a while, if I pop into Mike's chat and he has a full crew, he'd be like, yo, Nitro, if you down, you get in here. Let's go. And then so I know, all right, cool. But I kind of feel the same way, Nick. I'm very much the same way. I'm like, I don't want to take anybody's spot. We weren't trying to kick you out, Nick. I would have loved to have had you and Ray there because you all just talking to each other. It's funny to me.
But then I tuned back in just to see, and I see Snowbike Mike holding down this like middle area near an escalator and gets 15 kills straight. And he's like single-handedly winning the fucking capture the flag area. And I'm like, all right, well, I probably made the right choice here.
Probably couldn't have done it with you there, Nick. You know?
No, definitely not.
Do you feel like you're getting better, Nick?
I do, actually. I mean, the guys are, it's cool because the guys are giving me tips and stuff. Like Andy keeps telling me, he's like, dude, like very encouraging where he's like, hey, on this map specifically, like in this mode, don't run off on your own. Because I just want to flank people and like shoot them. And Andy's like, don't do that. Get with a partner. Like stay with Kevin Asax or stay with Snowbike and like be their wingman so you guys can actually, so we can dominate. And it's funny because like, you know, I don't know if you guys have played Warzone with Mike, but what he starts calling the shots. And you just get into the zone and he's just there. He's like, it's like command just in your ear, just telling you what to do. It's pretty amazing. He's a good leader when it comes to that stuff.
Oh, he's a great leader. And it's so funny because when I've played without Mike with just me and Chris Anka,
kind of funny best friend.
We have cool friends. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris is really good too.
Artist on fucking Spider-Verse 2. He'll be like, hey, so Andy, where do you want to go here? And I'm like, honestly, Chris, like, I don't give a shit. When Mike makes out calls, they could be the dumbest fucking calls ever. I just need somewhere to go. And I'm a weapon. You put this nitro rifle wherever, and we're going to click some heads. You know what I mean? And with Mike, when Mike is calling the shots, it's like, let's roll, dude. Let's roll. And the chat is always saying the same thing. Man, Mike, you know, I need Mike to shoutcast me fucking cooking food and shit. And it's so true because the motivation's there and the direction's there. And that's what's most important.
With Snowbike Mike, I brought this up. And I'm bringing it up again, Kevin. But yesterday on Games Daily, there was a revelation. And what happened was Blessing was talking about how he watched Queen's Gambit, got addicted to chess.
He's now been
playing a lot of chess.
Kevin, how good is Queen's Gambit?
It's great.
It's fantastic.
I loved it, dude. So good.
Andy, you should watch it. It's anime as fuck.
But, Andy, it's not for you.
But Bless has been playing chess, this online chess, and he's been playing fools out left and right.
And, Paula kicked the shit out of him.
And then Paula came in and destroyed him. We need to see the rematch. He needs to train. We need to give him a certain amount of time to train to have the rematch of Paula
We lost Nick. He's gone.
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Versus Bless. And I want it shoutcasted by Snowbike Mike.
Yes.
Because can you imagine chess being called by Mike?
First off, he needs to know how to play chess.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much does he know about chess?
I'm sure he knows enough. And second off, it doesn't matter if we're fucking watching two dogs sleep. He'll make it exciting.
Because like, I never learned how to play chess. I don't know anything about chess.
Me neither.
So like, Andy, when it comes
to... how does the horse move?
Oh, it's a tricky one.
That one doesn't sound like.
Three to the side, one over, Andy. Three to the side, one over.
Yes, yeah, I couldn't have told you that.
In any direction.
I know nothing about any of what the things can do. But I'm always amazed when I see chess players. I'm like, God damn, that's some fucking 4D shit right there.
But Kev, how do you think Paula would be down for this?
I don't know. I feel like that's a lot of pressure. She's been playing for fun. I could ask her. She's right here.
You should ask her.
Do you want to play chess against Blessing, but like we record it all and then put it up so we can make fun of Blessing?
You have to get the thing.
They can hear you.
The bell. Yeah, they need the bell.
The timing, the timer, the click.
She says that sounds scary.
It's only scary because she's going to embarrass Blessing.
I thought she was braver than that. That's weird.
Wow. The gaslighting begins now. The gaslighting.
Shut up. Don't say that. It's not funny.
You know what is funny, though? Kevin just slacked me, slacked random. Why on the sheet for the programming metadata stuff do we call this Kind of Funny Podcast 99-2? The reason is, everyone, because I like stupid things and we need to figure out what the headline's going to be every week. We already have the headline for next week. It's the 100th episode. It's going to be the last episode of the year.
Wait, so I don't understand why this one can be 99 and then next week can be 100.
Last week was 99.
The problem was last week was 99, so this would be 100.
No, last week was 98. What do you mean?
No, I thought we talked about
it. I remember him talking about it last week.
I'm looking at the doc right now. Last week, Nick's special cookie, 98.
Okay, then I'm off by a week then.
Great.
So then I don't know why'd you ask?
I didn't ask why this episode. I said, why do we have KFP 99-2 on the doc?
It stands for everyone to understand now. This week is 99. Next week will be 99.2. And then the final one of the year will be 100. So what are we going to do for our 100th episode of Spectacular?
Party.
Shirtless.
I don't know. We'll have to, you have to wait. It's going to be all visual.
It's the naked be episode. All visual.
Wow, the naked
like
episode.
Like typography stuff, but no words?
No, like we're going to be somewhere with typography stuff. No words.
I don't think so. We green screen stuff.
For the 100th episode. I got nothing.
Kevin, please show the tweet I gave.
Yep. Switching the browser.
Kind of funny. Obviously, a community, a family here. I just want to make sure Joey got her shot in on Nick, too. She says that Nick Scarpino here looks like he's about to serve me a flight of craft kombucha. Okay. So I just want to make sure if you want to put
it's Nick in like 4 years.
Wow. I love Steve Zissou.
Great movie. Wasn't it red, though? Wasn't his beanie red?
I thought it was. So this picture must have been a color.
This is doctored? Do you think this is doctored?
I don't know. Google it, Kev, because I've unplugged all of the things in my setup here, so now I have nothing but this mic.
Why would you do that?
Google Steve.
What a controversy.
Remember, I had a problem with my mic.
This is doctored.
Oh, fuck.
What a controversy we got in our hands.
It's orange?
What the fuck?
No, this can't be right. Is there something wrong with my screen?
Embarrassing Bears thing, man. Guys. He just got you.
Well, Kevin, you know, Kevin, it's Wes Anderson. He uses those filters all the time.
Wait, here's the thing. Hold on a second.
Click on that group picture, because that one looks red now. Maybe it's just the way it is in those pictures. That looks right.
It'll look orange. What do you mean? Now, you guys want to hear a funny anecdotal story that happened that is actually exactly like this?
Sure. I sure do. Right after I tell you, we're brought to you by Movement and Logitech, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show. What do you got for me, Kevin?
I love Logitech, dude.
I love him too.
Oh, you hate Movement, huh? Wow.
No, Movement's cool.
No,
they're
hey,
very thin,
man. Hey.
Sexy.
Hey,
watches.
Man. What do you think these are from, bro?
NVMC.
Just saying, yeah,
your glasses
words.
For audio listeners.
Kevin, what were you going to say?
I was recently watching the movie Klaus. Has anyone heard of this? Netflix came out last
year. Yeah, I see it on all the time.
It was going for the Oscar.
Message that for us. You said it was really good, right?
Really? Did I message that? Huh.
Yeah, you said something about it. I think it was like random on Slack. You were like, Klaus is the shit. Everyone should watch it.
Great
Kevin
fucking
out.
Movie. Me and Paul are sitting through there. We're here. We're in the last 15 minutes. And we've been kind of like noticing there's a weird purple and green hue. Like it's an overall tone to the whole movie. And Santa Claus basically comes out and he's wearing like a purple outfit. And then he says something like, yeah, I know the red's a bit much. And we're like, that's not red. Like what's going on? This redheaded kid over here is talking to this purple Santa Claus over here. And something's not right, you know? So I'm like, you know, I'm going to restart the Chromecast, unplug it. Plug it back in. It's hot. That little boy smoking,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. He's up, Kevin.
Yeah. So, sorry. All right. I'll plug it in, reconnect, start the movie again. All the colors were wrong. All of the colors were streaming incorrectly. I don't know why.
Oh, weird.
And it was really weird. Turns out Santa is, in fact, red. Like, he had his red outfit on. That makes sense. This little redheaded kid, blonde.
How many things do you think you've watched in the last year that have just been
red? Well, it's just that's one of those things that's so terrifying because it very much looked like an animated like choice. Like they were being very deliberate.
The art style looks really cool.
The art style is really cool. It's like one of those coloring books.
Can you show us?
Yeah, sure.
Wait. Oh, it is.
I would Google it right now, but I can't.
No, I'm on it.
Oh, yeah. Claws. Yeah, so
this is not the one. This is not the Kurt Russell Santa Claus Chronicles.
No, that's Christmas Chronicles.
Now there's a number. Those are two. Number two. Number two just came out.
Yeah,
So this movie,
this doesn't do it justice.
They did so much. They did so much. They put so much effort into making this 3D thing look 2D.
And they nailed it, dude. It looks like a children's storybook, in like the best way.
I need this because I've been going down a seasonal rabbit hole since Halloween. So Halloween, like every night I watch something Halloween-ish or scary or vampire or whatever. Recently as of November, what's that? Yeah, vampire-ish. No shit, I just went to Amazon Prime and I just Googled vampire just to see what come up. And the only thing they had for free was John Carpenter's Vampires. Not a great movie, but serviceable.
So you watched it.
I did. I sure did. The James Ward classic.
The amount of times we sit on this couch and it's in Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, back to Netflix. Just to be like, oh, this is what I'm doing. Type in vampire. All right, this one's free. Let's watch it.
That's what I do. Sometimes I let the TV decide, man. And sometimes I let that. So like,
I fucking hate this guy.
Andy, this is my point. You know how many times I have watched the movies Fred Claus and Four Christmases because that's all AMC is playing right now. And they're just constantly
Noel.
Watch this movie again. What the hell's Noel?
It's another Netflix movie with Anna Kendrick. It's Anna Kendrick hilarious? And actually who's the
Disney
brother?
Plus.
Oh, you're right, Disney Plus. It's very good. Well, no, it's pretty good. It's that guy from where he's the killer, Barry. It's the actor from Barry.
Oh,
as David Santa. Hader. Yes.
He's funny. He's a funny guy.
Anyway, so
I started a teacher.
Yeah,
last
that sounds wrong, right?
Bill Hader.
David
Hader's the guy that did Solid Snake. Yeah.
This outfit right here, where he's clearly red and white, he came out and it was like purple and green, and he was like, "It's a lot of red." And that's when I looked at Paul and I was like, "I think something's wrong."
That's so funny.
Wait,
that's
but so funny. His skin wasn't like green or
no?
Weird
his skin,
shit,
his like, skin, like it was just red and like. Blue, it must have been, that had switched over to like magenta and like a pale green.
Interesting. Yeah. So it was just kind of like a hue kind of shift
little bit. Yeah. Oh,
left
and also
right,
the blonde, these two blonde kids were both redheads.
Huh.
Yeah.
I love so much. I love so much of Nick talking about, and this off the, you know, John Carpenter's Vampires popped up. So, like, you know, and then Greg interrupts and goes, and you fucking watched it. And he goes, I watched it.
I like, did.
I fucking hate this guy, dude. The amount of like better things that he could be watching, but it's just terrible YouTube recommendations. It's like, fuck it, I'll put this on.
Well,
and you end up not liking it.
No, sometimes I do. I mean, John Carpenter's Vampires is not one that I would sit and be like, oh, I remember this being amazing. It's a kind of half-baked, not very good vampire movie. What I like doing is I like watching it and then reading trivia about it and like learning about why the production went the way it was supposed to go and like who was originally supposed to be in it and how it all went off the fucking rails. But I also like, I mean, I'm just a sucker for 80s or actually that was probably mid-90s, but just shitty campy movies, specifically like John Carpenter stuff. I like to go down there. I watched on Netflix the other day, I watched War Games, which I've seen before.
They've been advertising that a lot.
Yeah, they've been throwing it out there a lot, and I'm like, oh, I'll watch this. It's obviously one of the Matthew Broderick and Ali Sheedy's like first films, and it holds up. I'm like, wow, this film's really, really good. And I was reading some trivia on it, and lo and behold, like apparently because computers were so new back then and like networking and like dialing into a computer, nobody knew what the fuck that was. It actually changed like laws, like President Reagan passed laws.
Yeah. I was going to say, it wasn't the preamble to that like the movie came out as a big hit and Reagan was like, said to one of his advisors, can you watch this and find out how plausible it is? And they came back and were like, it's very plausible.
Very plausible. Oh, okay. And so that's how they started like the, I forget what the act is, Kevin probably knows it, but it's like the communications and computer like hacking act of fucking whatever. And it's the thing that like is still in effect to this day.
You nailed it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I figured I was getting close to it.
Don't need to look it up.
Got it. Crushed it. Swish.
Nick.
I love doing stuff like that.
One more. We had a conversation. I want to say it was on Screencast about the movie Hudson Hawk. And I bought it so that we have access to it. Did you ever watch it?
Oh, I didn't know you bought that. I will watch it
tonight. Yeah, I bought it on the Vudu account. And
that's another one of those movies that just went off the fucking rails.
Dude, that
terrible,
movie is fucking crazy. I watched like half of it. It is wild. It's wild.
Weird. It's a weird movie. That was basically that was when Bruce Willis's star, I think, might have started to fade a little bit on that one, because that one was definitely, I think it, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it tanked in the box office as well, because people are like, what the fuck is this movie? Andy, are you familiar at all with Hudson Hawk?
I have to Google this. I have no idea what this is.
It came and went. It must have been like early 90s, early to mid 90s, I want to say. And it's a character he's playing called Hudson Hawk, where he's like the best burglar and like the best thief in the world.
Cat burglar, safe cracker.
Yeah. And like his co-star is Danny Aiello, who actually was a pretty big name back then. You've probably seen it in a bunch of stuff. And it just is a fucking weird ass kind of slapsticky comedy action adventure movie that just, if you were to watch, Andy, if you were to watch it today, you'd be like, no fucking way this movie actually came out. It's weird.
84% of people like this movie, Nick.
The villains introduce themselves.
Oh, no, never mind.
As
the
like,
are real
hey, we're bored and we are the villains. Like, we're bored and we have money and we are the villains.
Like, Sandra Bernhardt plays one of the villains, and you're like, this is just a weird movie. But I watched it when I was a kid, and I was like, I was so tickled by it. I'm like, this is just silly and creative and fun. And it's always since then held a special place in my heart as being just an utterly terrible Bruce Willis movie that's super fun.
Yes, if I can throw a timeout, sorry. Snowbike Mike has joined us here in the chat room for a Kind of Funny podcast.
Oh, what up, Snowbike?
Snowbicycle Michael, you are free to unmute and tell us how you are doing.
I'm doing well, everybody. Welcome in. Kind of Funny podcast, having a great time. What's good?
Not a lot, you know, having a great show here, having a lot of fun, you know what I mean? Making people smile, making the babies laugh, as you always say. The question I have for you, Snowbike Mike, is do you know chess?
Do I know chess? Do I know how to play chess?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's my man.
Oh, yeah, here we go, guys.
So if you didn't know, Blessing Adeoye Jr. was walking around thinking he was the king shit of fucking chess. He was clowning people out left and right online. Then he stepped up to the immovable object, the Muhammad Ali of chess in our circles, all right? Paula Coelho.
Okay.
And Paula knocked his ass out. Just clowned him out in a way that I heard he might have deleted the app for two or three days.
He has yet to play her again. He says he's scared. I brought it up to him.
He should be.
It has been presented that maybe we get Paula and Bless to play each other again in the rematch of the century and have the one and only Snowbike Mike shoutcast it.
Oh, I get to commentate a chess game?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I'm in. Let's do it.
Now, here's my question to you, Greg.
Bear, you might have to play this chess game.
Do we make this a bracketed tournament where all of us have to play and we build up to playing whoever wins out of everyone else?
The Kind of Funny tournament arc, Andy? But it's chess. I love it.
I can't. Who can? Am I the only person who can't play chess who doesn't know how to play chess?
Oh, I don't know.
We can teach you. Chess is really easy.
I know how the moves, the pieces work, Greg. Yeah. But I will get destroyed at chess. I don't think I've ever won a chess game in my life. And checkers, I'll fuck some people up, bro. I got the
We can have a losers
checkers.
Bracket. Checkers.
Play hangman or some shit.
All right, losers, go play checkers.
But honestly, it's one of those things where like watching The Queen's Gambit, which I put off for a long time because I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this show. And then after like 30 seconds into the first episode, I'm like,
such
no,
a hipster.
This fucking great. The show's great. And Kevin, I don't like to like things. That's the hipster mantra. I don't like to like things, but I love coffee.
Unless they're vampires.
Unless it's just Google search vampire, first thing, watch.
But watching the Queen's Gambit, I'm like, I mean, I knew that chess strategy was like a deep game, but I had no idea. And if, I mean, I assume all that stuff's real that they're talking about, right? Like the different strategies and the different attacks and defenses and all that stuff. It's just fucking cool. It's a cool game. It's cool as fuck.
I love this.
I thought you were going to go, like, I assume chess is real.
It's fair. Okay.
I love this, man.
Kevin, are you going to be able to psych Paul up?
I mean, I feel like right now she's already too, like, unpsyched. Like, she's not excited about it. Yeah. This is kind of thing that, well, she's like, I mean, I don't want to lose. And it's like, baby, you've beaten this kid before. You know what I mean?
He's, but what he's if I think we him. Could ease. I mean, she doesn't have to be on camera, right? She could just play the game and we could just see Blessing's perspective and then have Snowbike Mike commentate.
Yeah.
In fact, we don't even need to see Blessing's perspective, I guess, honestly.
Nah, we'll figure it out. Cool. I don't know.
We got to be able to do it. Like, how are they? They're doing it digitally, I assume, right?
Yeah, there's an app you can get that's Android and iPhone, and it's free. You can create an account, and then you can play it the way Blessing does, where he does a 14-day, which is ridiculous. Paula does 6 minutes. Huh? Yeah, 14 days. It pretty much means you can take as much time as you want to make a decision.
That's dumb.
Paula does 10 minutes. I mean,
you got to do speed chess.
All your decisions have to be made in 10 minutes. I'm just saying, it's the real way to play.
That's cool. That's one of the things also in the Gambit that I was like, that's awesome that they can do. Where, like, I always seen them do the click, the click, 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 the timer thing, Greg.
Yeah.
Which I always just thought was, oh, I mean, I never just put two and two together that you only got certain, they give you a certain amount of time to play.
Yeah, you have like a total amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was cool because they do this thing. Have you watched series, Greg? Am I going to bore you with this? Oh, okay, never mind. The cool. Well, then I'll tell the audience. The cool thing is, like, when they have to adjourn and they only have so much time left, but then the guy has to write his move down and seal it. That's so dope. It's like, if I had a cool thought to make, but then, like, Andy interrupted me, I would write it down in an envelope, give it to Greg. We come back the next day, and then Greg.
I love that idea.
Joke.
That would. Yeah. Speaking of that, Andy, you were saying something before we were getting somewhere into the competition.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just assuming that would I be your kind of go-to opponent, since I am equally as clueless as you, or would it be Tim is equally as clueless?
I feel like you and I have such a rivalry, right, where I am so dead set sure I can beat you in a foot race in America. You refuse to race. You refuse to race me. You know what I mean? I feel like this keeps going.
What are you talking about? I refuse to race you. I will gladly go anywhere.
How many times have I said it? I've put the poll on Twitter. And Twitter said I would beat you.
Are you acting like the gravity in the UK is heavier and it somehow affected?
The UK thing, just it doesn't count as a real race. Yeah, I was in jeans. Bruce Green got involved.
The time was off,
right?
There was
a giant crowd there. I was running. That woman was pushing her kid in the stroller. I had to stop short and get around him. You know,
there's none of that. It's all on video. There's multiple angles.
So here's my idea for you guys. We do a chess/and/or foot race. Where you can either play the person in chess, or if you challenge them to a foot race, you have to foot race them. And whoever wins that goes into the next bracket, no matter what.
It's one of those things where they're I'm already imagining someone like Mike going, and he moves on to the second round. And if you're his opponent, you're going to want to play him in chess. because he doesn't know how to play chess. Yeah, I'm going to destroy Greg in a footer. Like, it's obviously all over camera. I mean, it's all over Twitter.
There's one shaky video of it shot from the back of the room. You know what I mean? And it's London, so the water's moving different. Nobody understands what's happening.
No, Vince Patel has a good shot of the overhead camera that is recording the big screen. And
the recording of a recording, and you think that's going to hold up in the court?
It was dumb.
Listen, I don't know why we're talking about London. We're not talking. It doesn't have anything to do with me beating you in the United States in a foot race.
London is
the other thing too. It was too short. All right, I need to get warmed up running. I need some runway to get my legs moving like an ostrich. You know, I need to get going.
Now, Greg, all due respect, I feel like Andy. I feel like the length of the race is not in your favor.
Yes,
I feel like Andy plays basketball, which historically requires a lot of cardiovascular abilities to do.
Sure.
I think you should try and limit it to 20 feet, 30 feet max.
No,
because
Stride. Here's the thing. I don't have endurance, right? Like, I'm not in shape. I haven't played basketball in forever. But I don't, unless we're doing like a long distance thing, Greg, which is just like not my game.
No, we don't need to do like cross country or anything.
Yeah, like I don't have that. I didn't run cross country back in the day. I've never had an endurance thing, but I just feel like it doesn't matter if it's, you know, 30 feet or the 40 yard dash or something. Like, an inch or a mile, winning's winning, you know?
Sure. I'm just saying, like,
your ass, yeah.
You talk a lot about it, but you never accept the challenge.
I mean, it's accepted. I don't know what I have to do to confirm it. Do I have to, like, talk to your agent or what the fuck do I do?
Is there, like, an online button he has to hit? To confirm? Yeah. He's got to go vote online.
Are you a robot? Like, no, I'm not.
No.
find all the crosswalks.
Yeah, I'll gladly race you, Greg.
Well, I think something interesting to do.
I just think there's such a we're just so predisposed to not wanting to do physical activity here at Kinda Funny. And I put myself in that category as well because I said foot race, but I'm going to challenge him. I don't want to fucking leave my chair these days.
I'll play in chess.
Yeah, me and Tim are playing chess against each other. And honestly, we might not even finish that game. We'll start talking about something and fucking fuck off. And then he can win. I don't care.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I worry about my general health nowadays because I'm just not as active, right? Running is tough for me, especially running in the cold outside. It really gets to my lungs. It's just always a tough thing. What I need Kinda Funny to do, let's take that big studio that we're not using, basketball court, all of it.
We can, right? Do that.
Just one big
we
basketball
absolutely
court.
Do that.
Multiple
that would
be basketball
tremendously
court.
Easy. Tremendously.
We need
like,
to. We,
you can do
we
two
need
for
the,
sure.
We would need the. Oh, actually, we probably could do two. We need the. Remember the hoop that I almost killed Tal with? At E3 that one year?
I do.
Yeah.
We need a couple of those. The ones that are like weighted, but if you don't weight them correctly, they come down and smash someone's skull.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, here's my dream.
Did I almost buy a hoop last time?
I will buy the hoop, Kevin, because if we could put a hoop in there, which, and there's nothing in there right now, if I could just put a hoop in there and drive to Daly City.
If you pick up like, Cool Guy, he'll play with you.
It is worth the 30-minute drive, 45-minute back-and-forth drive for me to play basketball every day in a place that isn't in the elements, right? Like,
okay, because it's too cold. I was going to say, because it's still legal to play outside. You can go to a basketball court.
But you have random people walking up.
No, the court close to my apartment, the rims are still gone.
I'm fine with this. I've been looking for a place to do jiu-jitsu, so as long as you guys can play basketball and I can put down some mats and strangle people, like, I'm totally down for that.
Right.
There's no, by the way, there's the only issue is there's... There are no bathrooms, so you'll have to shit into a hole.
But like the hole works.
Are there holes?
I won't shit.
But then you have to punch, and there's no water, so you'll have to just spit on it.
Andy, it's $188. I have your credit card on my file here. Do you want me to just order two?
But please ship those to Barrett's apartment.
I mean, you could half core. You could do half core. You have to pay.
No, we could do two. We could probably do four if you got the credit on it.
Oh, do the whole cool cross court thing.
Cross court, yeah. Wow.
No, I think
it's going to be hilarious.
At a time. Or
what's going to be hilarious is literally the basketball courts. They're going to take 6 months to get here because of COVID. And the second they get here, that's going to be the day we have to like build. We have to start.
It's free shipping. Well, good. Then the building will start. You know what I mean?
Well, then here's the thing, Kevin. Then it could just be moved outside when the building begins, like
in the parking lot. Yeah, these are the 7 to 10 foot ones.
Greg Miller, go ahead.
Yeah, Nick, in this empty studio we're paying for and have been for the entire year, thanks COVID, is there enough room for a foot race for me to beat Andy?
100%, yeah.
Perfect, great. Yeah. Thank you.
And if you guys want, though, we could do an endurance.
Kevin, I'm sorry. One second, Nick. Kevin, while you're ordering the basketball hoops, please buy one of those
parade things so that I can break it.
Do this.
I was actually thinking about Greg having a high school like cheerleading team, just make you one of those big crepe paper banners that you could run through.
So, okay, that's how it starts. You run through the big paper to start the race.
I'm gonna put this out there.
Yeah,
they have to run through a series of those papers.
It's like Fall Guys. Some of them are just solid walls.
Solid walls.
Oh, fuck. Jeez, all right. That's a real way.
The thing that Tim or that Greg's not understanding about this race is he says he was uncomfortable in London. He was wearing jeans. I was wearing my skinny jeans too, and I was wearing shoes that I don't feel comfortable running in. Tim, you've seen the way I walk, all right? I have like I have an insole for my arch because no, I am. It's like an insole that prevents your ankle from rolling or whatever. So a lot of the time during that race, when I schooled your ass by several feet, I'm running kind of stiff legged because I'm scared about, you know, just how the whole situation is going down there. So no. I was severely limited and still destroyed your ass. Go ahead, Nick Sarpian.
No, I don't want to come to Greg's defense here, but he has said multiple times they were on a different continent. So we've got jet lag that's playing into this. Also, there's different atmospheric pressures
Thank you.
London.
I was jet lagged. You know, you're talking about your uncomfortable shoe. I was using my prosthetic leg. So, I mean, like,
It was 3 days into
Greg was definitely jet lagged. Greg takes at least 6 months to acclimate to a new time zone.
Kev, can you bring up the thing I sent to assets? It should be time linked correctly.
You know,
I just want to bring up a video evidence of like what happened when kind of funny was in a foot race at one point.
Why does it have to always be making fun of me? You know what I mean?
It's not pointing out
a point that we shouldn't be doing this.
I'd like to remind everyone involved, I was not hurt in the least bit. And
yeah,
there it is. notice how I pop back up. I'm always ready.
Hold on. Here's is that Finnegan run and Finnegan
breaks his
Finnegan
ankle.
Hurts his ankle right there.
No, didn't he pull his like hamstring or something?
No one needs to watch that one.
No, we watched the second one. How'd the second one turn out?
He's so much faster the second time.
He trained for that shit.
He 100% trained regardless of what
remember
he
when you guys
says.
Printed flyers and put them up around the office?
We didn't do that.
Then it turned out the date was wrong on the flyers.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
Man, Kevin just bouncing off of that fucking rubber shoulder. Like, Kevin, your shoulder just seems so bouncy right
there. That's the thing, man. That's the thing. Like, I know that y'all laughing at this, but like, fucking, I can recover from a fall like no one's business. I can't tell you how many.
Can your shoe recover?
That shoe ripped in half, Andy. It ripped in half. I ripped the sole off. That's how fucking fast I was going.
You don't really get a sense of it, though, from that clip because we cut to it. But it's not like Kevin made it a mile before he hit the dirt. It was
like five steps.
Five steps.
Real quick. We have been joined by the new face of video games, Blessing, Eddie O'Yate Jr.
Hello, I love that Snowbike Mike is still here. Snowbike Mike, you can go. You don't have to be on
or you can hang out, Mike. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm part of the gambit, Nick. I'm not leaving the gambit.
It's a free show for him, dude. He doesn't have to subscribe on Patreon anymore.
Blessing, a lot of shade's been thrown your way this episode. There's been a lot of talk of chess. There's been a lot of talk of Queen's Gambit. There's been a lot of talk of you being the cock of the walk there. Of the old chess game and how you were puffing your chest out and saying how great you were, and then that the bear Paula Coelho came in and put you in your place.
Bless Harmon.
She did, and that is what they call me, Tim. They call me Bless Harmon. Name of the main protagonist in Queen's Gambit, Beth Harmon, which is why they call me that because me and her have a lot of similarities. Because
I missed that. Thank you.
Huge.
She lost the first big match too. Wait, no, she won the.
No, she won a ton of matches before she got.
She won a lot of matches. Yeah, she lost against that first, like the guy who taught her, though, right? Like the first time.
Yeah, because she had no idea
she
what chess
was. She beat
that
guy.
Yeah.
Don't spoil the show, guys.
Anyway, I have been playing a lot of chess, and I am very decent at it.
So what this has evolved into, and it turns out we looked at your contract, we don't need your consent, is that you're going to get a rematch with Paula Coelho.
Oh God.
It's going to be live streamed and Snowbike Mike is going to shoutcast it.
I'm terrified of Paula, like if I'm being honest, because I've played multiple people on chess.com now. Like I've been playing Abby Russell a whole bunch. I've been playing Yusef Magid. I'm playing quite a few people. And
you're clowning those people out because they're clowns, right?
Clowning them out, like undefeated. I was undefeated for a long time, and it was Paula Coelho who came through and shut that down and defeated me.
No.
And like I almost beat her. I was very close to beating her. Like
okay.
I had her cornered for
how close was it? Okay.
I had her cornered for maybe 80% of the match,
yeah.
And then she did a thing that I'd never seen before, where she used one pawn and basically used that pawn to make her way across the chessboard. In a way where I was like, oh, I see what she's doing. She's trying to like get back to the end of the board so she can exchange it for a queen or for another piece so she can put me in check. And once I saw that, I was like, I have no worries about this. I'll just take that piece to my rook when she gets here. No worries. She then got a few spaces away from getting to that point. And then I noticed that once she moved her pawn at a certain point, she had me in check with a bishop. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Cool. I'll move my king. And then she moved her pawn again. She had me in check again via another bishop, and it was checkmate because, like, she had me trapped with two bishops and her pawn, which was blocking the space I couldn't get to. And I didn't realize this for like a good five turns. And honestly, like, I was devastated afterwards. Like, I didn't know how to feel. Like, it was legit, like a movie climax moment of, wow, you got me. Like, there's nothing I can do.
Bless.
That's really exciting.
Bless. I was very into it.
I heard in the grapevine, Bless, that Paula was just practicing new strats on you, like just stuff that she hasn't really tried. Like, it was more of an experimentation. Like, ah, I got these. I've been practicing these new things. Let me try them out. That this is, you thought you were close, but really you were never at all.
That's, you never had your car. You never had your car.
It was the closest I felt to like being in an actual anime. Like, it felt like I was playing in a very intense game of Yu-Gi-Oh, and she pulled out her last trap card, and I was like, oh shit, didn't see this coming. That's what it felt like.
To the Shadow Realm.
Straight to the Shadow Realm.
Wait, now, Blessing, can I ask you, can I interview you real quick about your past with chess?
Oh, yeah.
Do you study strategy at all? Do you know what the Queen's Gambit is?
I mean, I know what the Queen's Gambit is, but I've never been one. I see, the reason why they call me Bless Harmon is because, much like Beth Harmon in the show,
you do a lot of tranquilizers and you see the ceiling and you figure it out.
And I drink a lot of alcohol, yes. Yeah, but it's more so like I'm an intuitive player, right? Like, I don't really go into all the strategies. I don't look into into the openings, right? I like, now, I go with the flow in the moment. That's when I see the Matrix and I know what's going to happen few moves ahead.
Plus, that was like, there was a fourth act where.
Do you think that that's a smart move against Paula the Killer Coelho?
Honestly, no. Because the way she was playing it, she was playing like she was an experienced player. And I don't know why I wasn't expecting that. I think it was mainly because Yusef and Abby Russell, no offense, we're not playing that way. And so when I was playing against
go check on that. Because if we see Tim's house burn down on the Kind of Funny podcast. God.
Can you just imagine, it's a comedy airs, all of a sudden people start running from left to right. They're smoking.
Gia comes through in a towel. Cool Greg's got the dog.
Joey just holds up a sign saying, I'm sorry, Nick. And you're like, oh, thank God she finally apologized.
Her final words.
Shit she's given me over the years.
Can't remember if I got them to get a fire extinguisher. Yeah.
I think, they definitely did, Kevin. If they did, Tim's not going to ever be able to figure out how to use a fucking fire
extinguisher. Yeah, but I taught you. You know what I mean?
Pull pin, forget it.
So Bless, you excited? I was playing a very, very good, very defensive game. I'm excited to get my rematch because I didn't challenge her again after that. Because I was like, I need to go back into the lab. I need to figure out what went wrong. I need to come back bigger and stronger.
I'm telling you, and switch over to the 10-minute matches. It's gonna up your game for sure, man.
It probably will. But the thing about playing the way I'm playing, because I'm doing these 14-day matches, meaning that I can go away and just make my move, go
have
away.
Have a think.
My opponents doing their thing. You know, they move. Cool. I come back and I can take my time. And that makes it so that I'm not in a rush. I don't feel the pressure. And I am able to plan out, like, okay, if I go here, they can take this piece with this piece, but then I'll take this piece with that piece. And then X, Y, and Z happens. The 10-minute matches make me nervous, but I mean, are the way to play, right? Because that's how chess is played. Like, people don't usually play chess via 2 weeks.
I would say, if you're going to drop down 10-minute matches, just don't battle as many people. And I'm going to keep saying battle from now on, because I think that makes all this.
It does sound cool. It's a chess battle.
That's right.
Obviously lower your amount of matches, because I've heard you're taking, it's quite an undertaking, Blessing, from what I hear, to have these many games in your brain in these many different places. You know,
it would be interesting though if you just studied like one strategy, like one of the offensives, and see
like
if you
his meta right
that.
Figure
well,
out because
that's what they do is they like
just go close to Cillian and master that.
Yeah, whatever that is, that sounds so cool. But just do that for the next like week or two and see if you can figure it out, and then see if that actually works. Because that was something that blew my mind. I was like, oh my god, chess is a lot like any other like fighting sport where you just study different techniques and like try to like kind of pull one over on the other person. Because that she goes into that a lot too, where she, it's not that she's just so intuitive, she studied the other things, so she sees those things coming and then is able to riff on top of them, which I thought was cool.
I
mean,
Tim, is the fire out? Hold on, Tim, what's the fire report?
It's all good.
Okay. Also, Blessing, if you want, we can get you like industrial grade tranquilizers if you want.
I'm down for whatever.
We have several guys for that.
I'm down to do it. And Nick, you mentioned wanted to question me about my chess history. I don't have like an extensive chess history, but I was in chess club in elementary school and middle school.
That's more.
And
than
I've me. Like I got to enter like chess tournaments and stuff. And like this is making me sound like I'm way better than I am. I am not amazing at chess. Like I am very decent.
Nah, talk your shit, Bless. Talk your shit.
Well, listen, you're talking to me, who I've never won a chess game. Tim, I don't think has ever played chess, and Greg doesn't know the difference between chess, checkers, and a fucking deck of cards.
You saw it going, and it was like he's gonna add one too many in. There was chess, checkers, or a deck of cards.
I was gonna say Chinese checkers, but I didn't. That didn't.
I never played that one either.
Bless. What would be your strategy for this match, though? Would you train? Would you study?
Yeah, no, I would. Well, here's the thing. Paula, I think, is very good at being patient and not like, if I have a flaw when it comes to chess, every now and then I'll be like, fuck it, man, I'm in the lead. I'm just going to, like, you know, I'm not going to pay too much attention because I'm killing it right now. Like, I fall into that tortoise in the hare situation where, like, I just start to say fuck it and, like, start making moves, trying to taunt my opponent or just trying to, like, flex because I can move my queen over here and, like, I know there's nothing they can do about it. Like, I like doing that type of shit. And for Paula, I would be more patient. And then I also would figure out how to counter. She's very good at placing her pawns in a way that provides good defense, where, like, if you place your pawns away, that's very diagonal, so that if anybody takes one of your pawns, you can then take them back. I got to figure out how to play against that, because usually people who do that are able to take me down.
Isn't that the dirty Sicilian or whatever you were just saying?
I believe that's the cute Russian.
Wait, Mike, what's the move that we're going to teach Bless? The slippery sock?
Soggy 90.
I've heard of that one.
Mike's gone.
What's the chess version of the Soggy 90 Bless? We got to hit Paula with something she's not expecting.
Soggy 90? I mean, it probably had to do with the knight, because the knight moves like two spaces up, one space right, right? And so that's 90 degrees. And
is
so
it
maybe
two,
like.
Not three? Yeah, oh, you're right.
It's two.
Yeah, one, two. Yeah. Two up, one over.
Here's my question for you. Another question, Bless, because I had no idea that you had this level of ability. Do you understand when they were talking about the three acts of the game? Where they're like the beginning, the middle game, and then the end game. Is that like something that you're like, oh, my end game's the shit?
I mean, that's I hadn't like heard it talked about that way, but it makes sense as they're saying it. Like it chess basically does have three phases when you think through it, right? And it's like the opening phase where you're figuring out, like, you know, how is this game gonna go? Like the opening phase really is like, okay. That's when the closed Sicilian, open Sicilian stuff comes into play of like,
right.
All right, I'm gonna place my knight first, right? Or I'm gonna move my king's pawn up, you know, to start the match or whatever. And you start to figure out what the flow of the game is. Mid game, of course, is mid game, and then end game really is, all right, how are we gonna close this deal? And I never really thought about chess that way, but watching Queen's Gambit, it made me start to think of it that way. And honestly, like, it made me, I think them. It's interesting how in Queen's Gambit, I felt like so many of the terms and the ways they talked about the game made me better at the game and more aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
And like them talking about opening game or beginning game, mid game, and end game was one of those things where I was like, oh yeah, I guess you do got to like switch that up when you enter into those phases.
What's I'm putting 200 on Bless Harmon. I'm putting 200 down right now.
Wow. The lack of respect for Mrs. Koala.
I need this rematch.
I think, you know, looking at the odds right now in Caesar's Palace odds, Paula's a heavy favorite. Right,
are we
going to
bet on this? Are we putting money on this, Andy?
Here's the thing. The Tim Getty's business call emotes. Put them up in the chat. How do we turn this into a January 5th fundraiser thing where all the bets on either side, but then we need to figure out like what your bet. Like,
I don't
money
think goes. We can do that. Sounds illegal.
I think it would have to go to charity, but if we reestablish ourselves as a nonprofit, we could probably make that happen.
Well, it wouldn't be illegal if all the money's going to the same place.
Well, if it's not,
it's illegal. I think it's still gambling. Right?
Well, if people win and you have to pay the money, then it's illegal. But if everyone
like, exactly. Yeah. They also make a prize. I think
we've made big strides in legal gambling. We've made huge strides.
I don't think so. I think they're just like a bunch of like apps that just not cared.
Tim, there's a way though, because I think what you would do is you would just have people put money on Paula or Blessing, and then maybe whoever loses, we take that money and donate it to charity or something like that. I don't know. So there, we can think on that.
Can't everyone stew on that for a second? All right, think about that.
A lot of pressure, by the way.
You're gonna do great, Blessing. We know
Blessing,
you can do
this. It's not our anniversary streams traditionally.
She's gonna destroy you, Bless. Like, destroy you. Right now, she's playing like 2 minute Tetris. She's so aggressive.
Shit, Tetris or chess?
I meant chess. You know,
a lot of people don't understand Tetris, Blessing, but that is chess. You just didn't know.
Damn.
Yeah.
2 minutes. All right, Blessing. Get out.
Hold on. Before you leave, Bless. Bless, could you beat Paula in a foot race?
Oh yeah, okay. I think I don't know. If there's anybody that is in this company or adjacent to this company that can beat me in a foot race.
No.
Oh shit, Andy! Oh, Andy, did you hear
this
that?
Is getting real.
Andy, did you hear that?
Bless is throwing down throwing it down right
so
now.
So blessing what we talked about before.
Listen, you got to get past me. I'm the mid boss. All right, you'll get to the end boss when you get there. Don't
Greg,
look past
you
me, buddy.
You are a fucking afterthought, big dog. Like I don't gotta worry about you.
You're
in
a fucking
foot race.
Candy.
I will say that Cool Greg and Blessing are definitely
fuck. Cool Greg might beat me in a foot race. I forgot.
He don't got it no more, guys. He's fast. He just don't got it
no more. No, dude. He's got the strides, man. Every time I play basketball with him, that dude can cover up ground. Like, you think you're by him, and then a second later, he's right there on you just because he covers so much ground at such a quick pace. Go ahead, Nick Scarpino.
So, Blessing, I don't know if you were here for this, but the rule that we're trying to instill is you challenge someone in chess. It's bracketed. We're all going to play. But if you don't want to play chess, you have another option to challenge that person to a foot race. The foot race may or may not be a series of obstacle courses whereby you have to run through paper, and every maybe third or fourth paper you don't know is a brick wall, and oh, you don't shit. Know if you can get through it or not. Similar to that game show that's the name is eluding me right now, but you guys
Fall Guys?
Yeah. Andy said Fall Guys, but it used to be an actual game show where people would have to run through and they wouldn't know if the door was open or not, and they just fucking slam into it.
Oh, mm. Correct.
Like Wipeout? It's a good show.
Yeah, Wipeout.
That's it.
So just letting you know that if you don't want to challenge Paula to chess, you can play Wipeout against her.
I'm down for that. Okay. No, this actually makes me way more confident in whatever
yeah,
this
just a reminder, I'm the one building the Wipeout thing, so it might be really unfair for one person or another if they're married or not married to me.
That would be hilarious. But to be honest, Kevin, I would not put it past you to torture Paula. So
never, dude. Are you kidding? She is the light of my day. You know what I mean?
Light of my day. She's light of my day, too.
Am I the darkness of your night?
Yes.
No, Nick's definitely the darkness of my night.
Tim is our watchful guardian.
Before we go any further to the show, let's check in with our sponsors. This episode of the Kind of Funny Podcast is brought to you by Movement. We all know that 2020 isn't playing by any of the usual rules, and that goes for holiday shopping too. Between shipping delays and the mess and stress of shopping in store right now, there aren't great options, but our friends over at Movement Watches have made gift giving easy. MVMT makes clean and modern watches, eyewear, blue light glasses, and jewelry. Getting great quality and style doesn't have to break the bank. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard us talk about them. Andy uses them, and I just ordered my own pair of blue light glasses. Movement's Everscroll blue light filtering glasses are a personal favorite of the one and only Nitro Rifle Andy Cortez, with lenses that protect your eyes from long hours in front of your screens. They come in tons of fashion-forward styles to choose from. Give the gift of better sleep, better focus, and better style. I've had my peepers hurting, so I'm excited to get my pair. I bought ones that look just like my regular glasses, so see if you can tell in the future. Get 15% off with fast and free shipping and fast and free returns by going to MVMT.com/kinda. That is MVMT.com/kinda. Remember, there's also watches, which you know Nick loves. There's a whole bunch of different ways to gift in there. They have the comes in cool matte black packaging, so you don't even have to wrap it up. It's all set to go. It's an easy way. So again, 15% off with fast, free shipping and free returns by going to MVMT.com/kinda. Movement.com/kinda. Our next sponsor is Logitech. They have the Pro X super light wireless gaming mouse, and again, Andy's clicking heads and ripping people to shreds with it. You can, of course, see Andy doing it all the time over on Twitch, but let me talk to you about it. The Logitech G Pro X super light gaming mouse is designed with the world's leading pros to engineer the world's best competitive gaming mouse. With hyper minimal redesign, Pro X super light is their lightest and fastest pro mouse ever, weighing in at under 63 grams, almost 25% lighter than the standard pro wireless mouse. Logitech exclusive Hero 25K sensor provides unrivaled precision, speed, and consistency. Pro X Superlight delivers extreme accuracy and ultra-fine control for complete confidence, especially during the intense split-second moments of tournament play, something Nick Scarpino would never know about because he's terrible games and should hang it up. Powered by Lightspeed Pro X Superlight, it is Logitech's fastest and most reliable pro mouse yet. It's available in black and white. Go to LogitechG.com to get your own Pro X Superlight wireless gaming mouse today. That's LogitechG.com to get your own Pro X Superlight wireless gaming mouse today. All right, guys.
We got I've been eating a lot of meatballs lately.
Hold on. Before we talk about meatballs, I got these Oreo IDs. Have you heard about this yet?
Oh, man. Your camera are these the ones in like super the shitty just in time.
Dude, we made it.
A silver plastic?
We nailed it last year, and I feel like if there's some sort of prize, like, we're going to nail it this year, and then we're not going to get it.
I know, Kevin. We should have won $50,000 for the fucking churro.
No, it's not that. It's not that. It's not the one where we're guessing the Oreo flavor, the mystery flavor.
This is
Oreo.
Take my money and run, dude.
They sent me this personal letter. I'm going to read it here. They mentioned Oreoration, guys. We finally made it.
It's so pixely. Are you uploading something?
No, buddy. We've been doing the same show forever. I don't know what happened. I don't know why I changed. My internet's great. Oreo ID says, Greg, need a new Oreoration subject. We've got you covered. For the first time ever, you can now customize your own Oreo cookies with Oreo ID. Stuff it. Choose your cream color. Dip it. Fudge or no fudge. Design it. Sprinkles. A fun greeting. A picture. The choice is yours. Pack it. Make it gift ready. This 12-pack, one-of-a-kind Oreo ID creation was made especially for you. To design an Oreo cookie creation of your own, visit Oreo.com/Oreo ID. Share your Oreo ID delivery, tag Oreo, blah, blah. Enjoy your friends at Oreo. So now what I bring to the table, ladies and gentlemen, are these Oreo IDs that they say they made just for me. The question to go around, starting with Andy, do you think that they are actually made especially for me, or they're just like, they got like red filling? Did they go over, are these going to be attuned to Kinda Funny? Are they going to be attuned to Oreoration?
Nailed your personality? No fucking way. They didn't watch all those. They don't. If they were, it would be chicken wing flavored, and that would be disgusting.
We can't. And you can't. It's not the flavor isn't a thing you can change.
I'm with you though, Greg. I think that there is a chance that there might be a smiley or something.
Yeah, it's like Xbox Controller Lab, right?
Because that's the thing. If they have the option to have pictures on it, they better have sent us some custom shit that has something, even if it's your dumb face.
No way, the Oreo crackers. You can't put
different images. Nick's will be like Nick's will be Parmesan flavored.
It's a big deal because they got it spit out a special way.
Oh, God, no. I wish I thought of this. Andy, I wish we would have sent him some Nutter Butters. Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
It's terrifying.
Shit. They are Oreos with a blue sprinkle, Kinda Funny blue. And then in the center, it's me when I took the two most stuffed Oreos and put them together and took the bite while I looked at the camera.
That's like that awesome.
Wow. This is really cool.
Wow. All right, Oreo. Wow. You actually stepped it up there. I was definitely expecting blue Oreos in that to be like it.
Let's see what we got. That would have been enough, honestly.
Totally.
God, I really want one.
Color me impressed. This
was fantastic. Right, so it's good fudge dipped. Maybe we're gonna like that. You can see there.
Maybe a little over designed, but it's okay.
Oh, I want one of those so bad. I know,
me too.
I wish it was the I'm flabbergasted face. I'll be real.
I was thinking when I saw it. I was like, they fuck me on this or whatever.
That would have been amazing.
They're not
going to
promote
Nutter
Butter, you know what I mean?
Blue cream.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, cover your face. There it is.
Wow. That's
great. Wow.
And it's the right color blue.
That's a good blue. That's a good
blue. My favorite color.
Greg, describe it for me, please.
You know, as you know by watching Oreoration, the white fudge ones they put out scored terrible. Terrible on the Oreoration review scale. Mm. This is a better fudge. This actually tastes really good.
And you're getting... Your mouth is turning blue. You're looking like a little.
You look like Andy after Andy's had the 13th Monster Energy drink of the night.
Now, would you Gamefuel? Where Gamefuel has?
I'm sorry. I apologize. Mountain Dew. Greg, it's traditionally, though, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't like the covered Oreos at all because, if I remember correctly, they have a resistance to milk that is disheartening.
Yeah,
that's the issue.
You're not incorrect there about how they traditionally feel. But these, like I said, there's a better level of fudge here. Probably because it's not being mass produced. You know what I mean? Like there's, you know, Oreo ID Lab, they're working hard on these things.
Yeah, these are a little more careful, catered,
As Kevin would say, the cracker is so crisp. So crisp. The cream, so sweet. And I like the texture.
Just thinking about it.
I like the texture.
How many of these did you eat, Greg?
How many could I eat?
Yeah, because I think that's something that you don't talk enough about on Oreoration.
Fuck you. Talk about if it's an everyday cookie or if it's a special occasion cookie. Go watch the birthday flavors.
I guess a similar proposition.
But yeah, I wouldn't eat like a million of these in one sitting. Because I wouldn't clown out an entire sleeve. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what do you guys think is like the standard of like if you're eating Oreos, you expect to eat at least
a ream. A full ream. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's why they sell it in a ream. Probably a 10, yeah. My wife would know.
Oh, never mind. You're talking about the sideways. Yeah, my mind went to Chips Ahoy, the long tube, and I was like, there's no way you eat one of those in one sitting. But yeah, Oreos for sure, because I think Oreos are just so inherently filling.
Yeah.
What? I get so full so fast on Oreos.
If you just eat the crackers, you can eat the whole package. Easy.
What do you do with all the cream?
Yeah.
You put it inside the package. And then you put it right back into the cabinet and then someone opens it up and they're just like, oh, look at all this toothpaste.
You're a psychopath. And the cream is the best. The cream is the best part of Oreo. The crackers themselves are just mechanisms by which to get the cream into your mouth.
More they're so good. They're tasting. So good.
Here's the thing: is I disagree. I think they work in tandem to make a great thing. But I do think that there's that moment. It depends on your mood, I guess. But there's that moment where I crack them, and I take just the cracker, and I'm like, "This is exactly what I wanted." And then, but then you do the double stuff out of the Oreo. You put that in there. You're like, "This is also excellent."
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm confused. You can't do these because D is asking me now. I just text her. You cannot do flavors for the Oreo IDs. It's just kind of decorating them.
Correct.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Choose the cream color, fudge or no fudge. Sprinkles, a fun greeting, a picture. Choice is yours. Make it a gift already. You know what? Kevin, what are we doing? Go to Oreo.com/Oreo ID and let's design some hideous Oreos and send them.
Oh, Milk Mommy.
Put the Milk Mommy on them and send them over to Paula.
I gotta say, I'm pretty shocked that it's actually an image, like a JPEG looking thing.
Yeah,
I would have expected it to be.
Oh, what's the website?
Oreo.com/OreoID.
Yeah, I gotta assume though, Tim, that'd be a way more involved process.
Is it lasered?
Like the laser tracing, like laser carving, you know?
Oreo. I don't think it's lasered on.
Okay, so
I don't think it's laser.
Give it a lick. Is it painted?
It's a printout.
Is it painted on? Like icing?
Yeah, that's like a print. That's like a printer paper.
Yeah,
like
cover your face.
I know. It's hard then because I'm in reverse. I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I'm a dumb.
Yeah, that looks
like
good.
There's a texture to it. There's a paper. I think
that's edible. It's like an edible print.
Well, I already ate it. Yeah, no, I know it's edible. Yeah.
He knows for sure. It's edible.
I hope it's edible.
Like small print underneath. Like, enjoy your friends at Oreo. Oh, P.S. Do not eat the image. Do not eat the image. Yeah.
These fudge ones, I've never tried one. First off, but they do seem a little too hearty. And kind of
they're hearty.
Yeah, it's like when you get a cupcake that's just too much and it's like, this is good, I'll eat one of these, but I cannot. It's not just like a normal chocolate cupcake that you can just fuck up like over.
Yeah, no, you can't. You're not eating a million of these, I don't think, by any stretch of imagination. All right, so here we go. It says, let's get colorful, select one. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, pink, white.
Let's go pink, baby.
Who are we sending these to? And also, chat, be cool. If we pick somebody to send these to, I do not need you ruining the bit.
Oh, I would love to send some to, like...
We could send some to Paula as a congratulations for when she destroys Bless.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a good way for her to win.
And then send some to Bless as, like, condolences for your loss.
You suck.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, I don't know, Rahul Kohli, Gary Whitta.
Ooh. Rahul's an interesting choice. Okay.
You know, we get, like, a photo of... What if it's... Ooh. I have a photo of he and I that we took on Instagram. What if it's a photo for both of us? And it's like, because I call him my father brother and I'm his son brother or his brother son.
You're making that up, right? You're making that up, right?
No, I call him my father brother because it's like I look like his son or I look like his brother sometimes is what people say.
This is like a made up thing, right? Like he doesn't know who you are, right?
I think he probably would, Kevin, but
like in the scared way. I'm like, oh
yeah,
no, Andy.
Definitely definitely like it's a one-sided thing where Andy's like,
watch
yeah,
for that
my
kid,
father,
yeah.
my father brother, and he calls me his sister wife or whatever. And then you ask for Rahul and he's like, I don't call him that. That is not something I refer to him by. Kind of like how I call Andy my friend and he never calls me.
Yeah, exactly like that.
So I say, yeah, I agree with what Andy's throwing down. Do the pink.
Pink is dope.
Yeah, because we're going to make it a kind of funny color, right? So, yeah.
Or maybe, or Alana also.
As a congrats?
Like a congratulations.
Just for, yeah. Just
it
for,
being
just
better than Blessing.
So, yeah, I think that'd be so great. Hey, congratulations on getting a brand new job. Here's a cookie in our color, just in case you want to come work with us again.
should we do blue?
Or no, green no, or X-Cast?
Can you guys?
Thank
no,
you
but we
for
just talked about making,
X-Cast.
We're trying to make it about us. So if we do the kind of funny games
think,
colors of blue
I think
and pink.
Pink filling and blue outside. Because blue, oh, that's cool.
You can't
that's
do blue outside,
color.
Guys.
Then
you can, though. You're going to do the blue sprinkles like they did for me, Kev.
Got it.
So do the fudge because that's delicious. Okay, we can pink. Swear the fudge is delicious.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, then
so
you do the blue
inside,
sprinkles.
And then do the blue sprinkles. And then a picture of Milk Mommy on it and say, please.
Yeah, I think you put the Milk Mommy on there.
I don't think we need to do that image.
I think we got to do it.
I think if we're
I think
sending...
this needs to be our Christmas present to everyone. You know how like companies are supposed
that
to send Christmas presents?
That sounds expensive.
Let's send these to everyone. Sony Santa Monica, Sony, the other Sony, Redwood.
Yeah,
Sony Redwood. They do a lot of great stuff there. A lot of great games coming out of Sony
Redwood. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
God,
exactly.
I hate that you just type in Milk Mommy and it's the
there
first
it
image.
Fuck yeah, it is. Cowards didn't want
Andy, can you get it and just PNG my face out of it?
Why, you don't want Paul on it? I just did, I'm doing an in tandem over here, and I, with Paula in it, it looks great.
Oh yeah, no, no, but I'm sure you can like you can scale up, right?
Yeah, you gotta scale that thing up and just be the face.
Yeah, you can. There's edit photo placement,
right there. Yeah, there you go. There it is. Oh, this is so.
There cool. You go. You
I
can
feel
zoom
like
and
we
drag.
Don't
zoom
have the background at all. I oh, think you don't make more sense.
No, I think just make it your full face. No,
yeah, get really tight, like I'm getting in there. So yeah, now zoom now in, click on now. Yeah, and there you go. Now click on scale it. There you go. Scale that shit.
Sorry, audio.
There you go. Audio listeners, we're sorry.
Scale it's on you. You know this is the kind of thing that we do.
There it is.
The pop in.
That's perfect. That's perfect, Kevin. Oh, it's perfect.
Oh, no.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. You look like Thomas the Tank.
Yeah, now I have to say this. Looking, seeing it in action, we have to send these to Gary. We have to.
It was a thought that counts. It was a thought that, you know what, that's actually good. It's the thought that counts for Alana. We love you, Alana. Thank you very much. Yeah, now we send it to Gary.
Yeah, guys.
But again, chat, be cool. Do not fucking tell Gary, think you're getting something cool soon. Hey, Gary, they talked about
bro,
the podcast. Nobody fucking say anything to Gary, all right? Don't say anything to Gary. You can put text on it?
Oh, you don't need text on this, Kevin. I think.
No, yeah. Milk Mommy face
really
alone.
I feel like
Milk Mommy face alone.
It speaks for itself, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This is good. This is some good stuff here. And then, yeah, spring for the... Oh, you got a gift box in 12 count? Yeah.
God.
Oh, Kevin.
Spring for the white gift box when you get to the next one, yeah.
It's so perfect.
Go scroll down. Scroll down. There you go. Get that white gift box at 12 there. Just like
wait, what are the bigger ones? Oh, just a
four pack. Yeah, it's just the size.
Greg, if you're doing this, you've got the company card. You probably have Gary's address. Why don't you just do it?
It's probably
somewhere around here. I do.
Kev did it. That we made Kev do it.
Yeah, because then everybody sees it. Yeah, but I can do it from here. I can take it. I can.
Sure.
And also, just there's something that Kevin hates this so much, but he kind of loves it too.
No, Kevin loves it.
He hates it, but he kind of loves it. It's kind of like how I hate you guys make fun of me, but I love
how much
time you talk about me.
Now, chat, be cool. Do not ruin this for us. Sorry to raise my voice, everybody.
I just love the idea of Kevin eating himself. Like it's just.
I'm gonna eat Kevin so fucking hard if I get one of these.
If you could send me a pack, that'd be great.
Yeah, send all of us one so I can tweet it out and lick it.
Do I have permission to send?
What if it's like the company Christmas card?
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should send
it's
this $30
company gift Christmas card. Like that's not
You can do the four pack, and that could be cheaper. And I think we should send these to everyone.
I don't like that you say that could be cheaper because you don't know. Oh man, we've
but with Nick, like the mat, like if it's more expensive, it's better.
It's so
well, why don't we just send them the one then if we're gonna be cheap?
No, I'm with Andy. If it's more expensive, it's better, right?
Jesus
Tim,
Christ.
If you send them the one or the four, I think that's
the four.
Perfect.
The four
is 11. Go four.
The one I feel like is such a like, hey, we're sending you, but like it's funny. It's funny to be like,
but,
hey,
no,
eat it or keep it. It's your choice. You have
so
one.
Here, follow me on this one. The only reason why I will vie for 12 is because
you like spending our money.
They'll have to go, fuck, there's so many of these left. And they're gonna have to try to either throw them out or give them to someone in their family or office, or just leave them there forever until they inevitably throw them out.
I could see Imran being the first one to like tweet out a picture of in their trash can, just being like, "This makes me very uncomfortable."
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, is we know that Gary has a small child.
Yeah.
So there, I do think there's a quantity of these where this goes from funny to him being mad at us, and I don't know what that number is.
It's definitely 4 to 12.
Out.
4 to 12.
I think 4 is the appropriate. Like, oh, this is a nice gift. We each get one, and then 12 is like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah,
exactly. No, 12 would be stoked. You see, Gary loves fast food and stuff. Gary will eat it.
Yeah,
I'm
but 12.
Jeff Ramsey getting mad about them.
Jeff Ramsey
mad about anything.
No way. Jeff Ramsey gets to the point where he even looks at these. This is gonna be a package that sits on his desk for 8 months. Yeah. And then some sort of housekeeper is going to throw up.
Yeah, Jeff has so much better things to do than
so
do,
much
than
better
engage
stuff
with any of the stuff we are. And I'm pretty sure, like, the man is a jewel. People are probably shipping him real gifts for Christmas. He's going to know we're screwing around, but ship him anyway because that's a cool thing to do.
I got to put in Gary's phone number. I'll just put in mine. I never know when you do the.
They're
going to
call you and
gift
be like,
stuff.
"Hey, we're outside," and you're going to be like,
"True, shit, fuck."
Just put
your
phone number. Give me a second. I'm gonna call Gary.
Put your own phone number. Don't put his phone.
I don't want Oreo calling. No, I'm kidding. I want Oreo to call me.
Yeah, you well, have Oreo's to, not going to call you. They're going
no
to
one ever
you,
calls you.
Sell you to a call list, then you're going to get calls about your fucking car insurance or a car warranty.
Stop calling me.
They're like, I see that your warranty for your car is up, and I'm like, I haven't had a warranty on my car in 17 years.
Do you want to buy another one for
$5,000?
Some fucking asshole signed me up somewhere.
Sorry about that.
I don't know where, or either that, or it's just like my number is still tied to this guy named Jose Huerta. And it's always like people looking for this guy, and you got to assume he owes a lot of people money. So that's one of the calls I get. But recently, I've just been getting nonstop texts from so many different numbers that I always have to block for spam. And a lot of them do get blocked for spam, but I still get brand new ones asking for Mary. Your PS5, blah, blah, blah. Mary, your car insurance. It's like so many different.
Nick, should
you
take Mary's PS5, man?
Nick, should
you
tell
us? It's so many different topics that aren't just gaming related. It's so fucking annoying, dude.
Now, Andy, would it surprise you to know that every single time I have to sign up for anything, I put your phone number and email address for
it? No, I've seen him do it in person. I told him it wasn't funny, and he laughed so hard. You were playing basketball at the time. You remember this?
Yeah.
Five-hour energy.
Yeah. He for sure puts your name down.
We were at a Comic-Con, and it was the five-hour energy.
He asked me to look up your number. I told him it was going too far, and he said, "I'll look it up myself."
But like I caught him, and he was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Is that cool or what?" But he'd already done it.
Andy, you want to hear a fun anecdote about someone putting down my number on something?
Yeah, sure.
You should listen to the Kinda Funny podcast post show then, Andy, on patreon.com/kindafunny, where of course you can be part of the show. You can submit your own questions. You can get it ad free, and you can watch live just like PSW, Lynn Carr, and TL Josh are right now. Remember, of course, the Kinda Funny podcast comes to you each and every week. You can get it on patreon.com/kindafunny. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can head over to youtube.com/kindafunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week to get a brand spanking new episode. Remember, we are trusting you all not to be fuck faces. Do not tell Gary about these cookies. They have been ordered. They are processed. They are on the way. I have my receipt and everything from Oreo, so don't worry about it. Everybody be cool.
Be cool.
All right? That's cool. We got a post show to do on patreon.com/kindafunny, but until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.